in Revelation 4, in Revelation 4 on your outline, the focus of the heavenly scene is upon the throne. We looked at that last week, and the throne takes precedence in chapter 4, and we believe that this has much to do with the judgment seat of Christ, in which the church will be caught up at the rapture and will come before God, and we will be judged for our works and our motives and that which we did, and the Lord will give us crowns, rewards for our service, but then we will cast our crowns back to Him. Amen. Or again, He's the only one that is worthy. And so there is an evident transfer on your outline in the occupant of the throne from God the Son to God the Father. If you look at Revelation 5:7, it says there, tells us, "And He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne." Now again, it's hard for us to understand God being three in one. Amen. I don't know any honest preacher that says, "Oh, I've got that all figured out." If you've got it all figured out, you need to let me know. Amen. Because I don't always understand that. But then again, I don't understand how we're body, soul, and spirit. Amen. I don't understand that. I don't understand how an egg has a shell, a yolk, and a white, but it's all egg. Amen. I don't understand how H2O can be water, ice, or steam. I don't understand that, amen, but I accept it. And so praise the Lord here for the Trinity. Here in Revelation 5, the focus shifts from the throne to the seven-sealed book. And you see that in verse 1. "And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals." The word book is used 8 times in Revelation 5, 1 through 9. I have to say, when I first started doing this study, I was enjoying it, but as I got deeper into it, I enjoyed it all the more. Number one there, Roman numeral number one, we have the subject. The subject. The theme of Revelation 5 is redemption. 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 The word redeem has so much meaning, and it really, really does. However, in simplicity, it carries the meaning of to buy back. What it means to redeem, to buy back. The Old Testament reveals that three objects could be redeemed. And I'll leave it to you to look up these cross references for yourself. But the first thing that could be redeemed there, number one, was a servant. If a man had a debt and he could not pay that, he had to basically sell himself into slavery, and he could be bought back. A servant could be bought back. Secondly, not only a servant, but a wife could be bought back. And I know that would probably be funny to our day, the idea of buying back a wife. It didn't make much sense, but the tradition, of course, it was referenced in the Sadducees' question to Jesus of when a man would die and his brother were to take the wife and to raise up seed, and 7 times that happened. Well, a wife could be redeemed, and the obvious example we see of that is Ruth. Ruth was redeemed by Boaz. A great picture of what we're talking about here. But then, thirdly, not only a servant and a wife, but a piece of land. If you got to the point, Brother Lowell, where you couldn't pay your note on your land and you had to give it away, you had the opportunity to be able to buy it back. However, someone was required in each case. A kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer who must exhibit 3 indispensable qualifications. In other words, not anybody could just buy back a servant or a wife, or you couldn't buy somebody else's wife. It had to be someone, if we could say in Supreme Court terms, somebody that had standing in the case. 3 things there. First of all, they had to have the power to redeem. They had to have the power to redeem. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then he said in verse 18 of John 10, no man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. Amen? Thank God for the kinsman redeemer. They had to have the power to redeem. If you read the passage there in Leviticus chapter 25, it said, who is able? They're able to redeem. Secondly, they had to have the right to redeem. They had to be a near kinsman. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, not the only reason why, but one of the reasons why we know that Jesus Christ took on the robe of flesh. Amen? Was to become like us, to understand all our sorrows and suffering, and that He would have the right to redeem us as a kinsman redeemer. Not only the power to redeem, the right to redeem, but also the will to redeem. The kinsman redeemer was under absolutely no obligation to redeem any of these three things. Had to want to. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. And the Bible says he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. He went because he wanted to. He went because he loves you and me. Amen. He is that kinsman redeemer. Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. and three bullet points here. Through the creation, man belonged to God. Through the creation, man belonged to God. Very simple. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You go further down, you find He created everything, created man on the sixth day. The Bible says in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. That means we belong to God by creation. In one sense, when people say we're all God's children, that's the only part that they're right when they say that. We are all God's children by creation, but the Bible says that we're of the faith, Galatians chapter 3:26, we're the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, amen? You can't only be God's child by creation, you got to be God's child by redemption, amen? So, the creation, man belonged to God, but secondly, through the fall, man sold himself to the devil. Through the fall, man sold himself to the devil. Of course, we have the reference there to the fall, Galatians 3:13. Cursed is the curse. Jesus Christ bore our curse, the law. And it said there, for cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And then thirdly, through the cross, Jesus purchased man back. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, wonderful verses. You're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with incorruptible, with the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. That's what He bought us back with. We're His twice. I heard the illustration. It's a precious story of a little boy who his daddy taught him how to whittle and carve. And he carved out this beautiful sailboat. And he painted it and he marked it. And it was just so. And he got it out on the water. And he put it out on the water. And the wind really kicked up, Brother Max. And it pulled him away where the little boy couldn't get to his boat anymore. And it sailed all the way across the lake. And he lost it. And he came back weeping and said, oh, I can't find my boat. I lost my boat. And he went into a woodcarver's shop not long afterwards and he spotted his boat. And he went into the older man that ran the shop and he said, mister, that's my boat. And he said, I'm sorry, son, I found it. And the price is on it. It's 15 cents. He said, it may be yours, it may not be, I don't know, but it's in my window for 15 cents. And so that boy worked and worked and worked and worked and got that 15 cents and went back in there and gave that man that 15 cents. Now, in truth, he didn't really have to do that. It was his by creation, but He bought it back. Amen. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. He bought, listen, He owned us by creation, but He bought us back through the cross. Oh, what a Savior. Amen. Number one, the subject. Oh, I'm sorry, last line there. At the rapture, He fully redeemed His servants and His wife. Number two, not only the subject, number two, we have the scroll. The scroll, Revelation 5:1 there, talking about the book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. The scroll has to do with the third object that will be redeemed by the kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. That is the universe. The universe. Bullet point number one there, God created the universe, and all God's people said. Amen. And He didn't do it in millions and millions of years like some people would suggest. He did it in six literal days. Amen. And the evening and the morning was the first day. And He spoke and it was, that's our God. Amen. He created the universe. God gave man dominion over the earth. There's a very interesting theory. And again, I'm going to get away from the pulpit here because it's a very interesting theory. I don't know if it's true or not. C.I. Schofield was a proponent of the gap theory, which I do not agree with at all. That is that there was this huge gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. Somebody asked me, when did Satan fall, Pastor? When did Lucifer fall? And I just always say this, sometimes before Genesis chapter 3. Sometime before then we know he fell. Don't know. I know this, that God said after He created everything, in Genesis 1:31, He saw everything He made, and behold, it was very good. It couldn't have been very good if the gap theory is true. Because what the gap theory purports is that there was this huge cataclysmic judgment between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. Now, God wouldn't have said it was all good if it had been judged. Amen? That's just my opinion. But getting away, the interesting theory is this. There are many that believe that each one of the stars, each one of the planets that we could see, that God, and again, this is not Bible, it's theory, okay? It's just theory. That God gave a fallen angel dominion over each constellation, each star. And that Satan had dominion over the earth. And when God created man over out of the earth, that Satan became very jealous and sought to destroy God's plan. Now again, that's a theory. I happen to think it's a reasonable theory. Satan was here on earth, we know that, and he did tempt man. Third bullet point there, man fell through sin. Man fell through sin. And then we know this to be true as well. Fourth bullet point there, Satan took dominion of the earth. We understand this. In the sovereignty of God, God is in control, ultimate control. Amen? But Satan is called the god of this world. Amen? And please, I say this reverently. We do understand that God is sovereign. But listen, it's quite obvious who's in charge right now. Amen? Satan is also called in Ephesians 2:2 the prince and power of the air. And he is in charge for such a time as this. And it's going to get worse coming up here. These two chapters right here, they're basically the foyer to the tribulation, which is going to kick in here in chapter 6. But Satan took dominion of the earth. The seven sealed scroll is the title deed to the universe. The seven sealed scroll is the title deed through the universe. And God, through the tribulation and its subsequent judgments, will show that He has the power, right, and will to redeem not only His servants and His bride, but also all His creation. The Bible talks about in Romans chapter 8 that now the whole creation groaneth and travaileth, waiting for that day to come, amen, when God will redeem the earth, amen. He will. He's going to do it. We have the subject, the scroll. Number three, we have the search in verses 2 and 3. So you have this seven sealed scroll. Very interesting. I was reading about the scroll, and it said that especially in land contracts, many commentators, especially in land contracts, if someone had to forfeit their land, they would write that on the inside, then roll it, seal it, and on the outside, they would write the terms for redemption. I like that. Written within and without. How we lost it and how God could get it back. Amen. I like that. Number three, the search. Verses 2 and 3. We see a strong angel here, and he asks, number one, a question. The question is, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Number two, we see the answer. The answer is no man. No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book. You know, when I read those two verses, I always think about salvation. Who's worthy to enter heaven? No man. Nobody. Nobody is worthy. But praise God for verse number five. We'll look at it there. Look at verse number four, point number four. We have the sobbing prophet. Not only the search and the scroll and the subject, but we have the sobbing prophet. The aged apostle weeps much, for no one is found worthy. Think of that, I believe it's in Ezekiel. I want to say chapter 33. I sought for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, and I found none. How sad that was. You know, God's still looking for people, amen, to make up the hedge, to fill in, to do His will and do His work. He's still looking. I like point number five. We have the slain lamb. The slain lamb. What it says there in verse number six, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Can I just tell you, this is so beautiful when you think about it. And I know Jesus is referred here several titles, and I'd like to look at them next week. I don't know if we will or not, but you know, the Bible talks about Satan as being a roaring lion, seeking, and you think about that, and here he is, the roaring lion is overcome by the slain lamb. You think about that. The lamb is the meekest of all animals. And here he is, and by the way, just look at the text. What do you expect a slain lamb to be doing? The answer is laying down. But here, the lamb that has been slain, and I believe, since there was no corruption in Jesus' blood, I believe the wounds will be just as fresh when we see Him in heaven in His hands. They won't be nail scars, they'll be nail pierces. He'll have those fresh wounds in His side, and we'll say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." It's the slain lamb. He's referred to by three titles here, and we mentioned there, but looking at your outline, but there is one and only one who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, He's referred to by three titles here, and they're very interesting in the area of redemption. Jesus is referred to as the Lion of Judah. That's a cross-reference back in Genesis chapter 49 when Jacob was blessing his sons. You can look at it. Very interesting. But that speaks of Jesus having the power to redeem. The lion, the most powerful of all animals. Then we have there the root of David. He is called the root of David in verse number 5. That's a reference to Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1 and Matthew 1:1. And that meant he had the right. He had the standing. He was in the line, Brother Horsch. Amen. Praise God for that. And then thirdly, he is referred to as the Lamb that was slain. The Lamb that was slain. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. You know what that means? He was willing. He was willing. Very, very interesting. The writer further describes the slain lamb as having seven, of course that's God's number of perfection or completion, seven horns, horns speak of power, and seven eyes, that is not only power but perception, and taking the scroll from God the Father, for He's the only one who's worthy to open it and to loose the seals thereof. Number six, we have the song. We have the song. And I enjoyed the hymn fest so much. I enjoyed this place just lifting up the praises of our Lord. Amen. I enjoyed hearing the choir sing. Two tremendous numbers. The idea. But ladies and gentlemen, can I just say it this way? We just don't have any earthly idea how good that's going to sound up there. Amen. I don't know. I'm pretty sure we won't sing English. I don't know. We'll sing heavenly. I know this. Uncle Joe, you're going to be in the high tenor section in heaven. Amen. Going to have that blessed. We're all going to have blessed voices. Amen. All going to blend together. Going to be beautiful. Worthy is the Lamb is the song of heaven. It's the song of heaven. It is a hymn of, and it's very interesting to just kind of, we'll skim the surface here. It's a hymn of worship. Thou art worthy. Worship, worth-ship is what you're worshiping, worth worshiping. The Lord is. Amen. It's a hymn of worship. It's a hymn of the gospel. Thou wast slain. What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a hymn of worship. It's a hymn of the gospel. It's a hymn of redemption. Thou hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood. Amen. Number four, it's a hymn of missions. Look at verse 9 there, and it says, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Sounds like missions to me. Amen. Sounds like not just America is going to be saved, amen. People all over the globe are going to be saved because people share the gospel. Number five, it's a hymn of devotion. It says there in verse 10, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. We believe in our Baptist distinctives of the priesthood of believers. That doesn't mean you're a Catholic priest, amen. What it means is you can go to God yourself. Amen. And what you know what that is? Devotion. Devotion. Number six, it's a hymn of prophecy. We shall reign on the earth. When does that happen, Pastor? The millennial kingdom. That thousand-year reign that's going to take place after the tribulation. Number seven, and lastly, we have the speech. We have the song of heaven. We have the speech. Worthy is the Lamb is also the speech of heaven. It's not only the song of heaven, but it's the speech of heaven. The innumerable multitude of angels, living creatures, and the raptured church of God lift their voices in worship and praise and emphatically state that Jesus Christ is worthy to receive seven things mentioned here in verse number 12. He's worthy to receive power. When he left, he said, all power is given unto me. He's worthy to receive, secondly, riches. Remember in our text over Christmas, it says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes became he poor. Number three, power, riches, wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Four, strength. Strength. Jesus has the strength to bind the wicked one. And he will show that strength. Amen. The millennial kingdom will be the millennium because Jesus, in his strength, will bind the devil for 1,000 years. Number five, honor. And certainly our Savior is worthy of honor. Honor. Number six, glory. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Number seven, blessing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And then I just thought we'd just look at these last two verses. After the speech of heaven is concluded, it says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." I am looking forward to hearing every creature say that. I'm not trying to be funny, but I am looking forward to the fish poking their head up, Brother Boston. Carrie and I went to Hawaii, what kind of fish was that, Carrie, that gigantic thing that we kept feeding? And it was huge. It was literally like this big. It was in a stocked pond. And they would see you with bread, and they would come over like this. I'm telling you, and you could throw it, and they whoop, took it. And I'm looking forward to that fish popping out and saying, "Blessing and glory and honor and power unto him." Amen. Unto him that sitteth on the throne and upon the Lamb. And then it says, "And the four beasts saith, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." Praise the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Father, pray that you would bless now as we conclude. And we thank you, Lord, when we think about redemption, we're so unworthy to be redeemed. I'll just speak for myself. I certainly am not worthy of your redemption. But you not only created us, you loved us, and you bought us back. And you're going to buy the universe back. You're going to show your authority through and your power through your judgments as we study the remainder of Revelation. Pray that you'd help us to always be thankful that you did buy us back. Thank you for the cross. We love you. Thank you for all that you give to us. We thank you most of all for dying on the cross for us in Jesus' name. We do page